continuing now with the tafsir of Surah Al-Rahman. Yesterday we discussed verse 13. This is the first time now in the surah where the verse فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ comes, the first of 31 times. Now, which of the bounties of your sustainer are you two, meaning man and jinn, going to deny? And I explained yesterday that Ala could either be translated as bounties, or it could be translated as the power, the signs of the power of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Both would fit here, because Allah is describing His bounties, but at the same time that reflects the signs of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's power. We also mentioned that in a hadith we are taught that when this verse is recited, then we should say لَا بِشَيْءٍ مِن نِعَمِكَ رَبَّنَا نُكَذِّبْ فَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ, that O our sustainer, we do not deny any of your bounties, all praise is due to you alone. Even though Allah has not specifically mentioned jinn in this verse, but it refers to both men and jinn because of the other references in the surah, as I explained yesterday, towards the jinn. Verse 14, Allah then says خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِن صَلْصَالٍ كَالْفَخَّارِ, Allah created man from sounding clay, like the clay of earthenware. Meaning the first man, Adam alayhi salam, Allah took sand, mixed it with water, it became clay, and He fashioned Adam alayhi salam from the clay. And the nature of the clay was such, like a clay pot, if you struck it, it made a sound. وَخَلَقَ الْجَانَّ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ, and Allah created jinn from a flame of fire, meaning the father of jinn. Many scholars say the father of the jinn was Iblis. So man has been created from soil, jinn has been created from a flame of fire, which is smokeless. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانَ, now which of the bounties of your sustainer are you two going to deny? And this is where we left it yesterday. Now we continue with verse 17. Allah says, رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقَيْنِ وَرَبُّ الْمَغْرِبَيْنِ, Allah is the master, He's the Rabb of the two easts and the master of the two wests. The two east, according to Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah, is the points at which the sun rises in the winter and the summer. And the two wests would be the point at which the sun sets in the winter and in the summer. That is what is meant by two east and two wests. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was of the opinion, two east would refer to the rising of the sun and the twilight. And two west would refer to the setting of the sun and the twilight. And both could fit here again. What happens when the sun rises and sets at different times and in different points, according to the differing seasons, is that there are various changes that take place. And we know the changes from summer to spring, or rather from summer to autumn to winter to spring, the different changes that take place in the environment, when day starts, when it ends, everything is impacted. I mean, Ramadan, when your fast starts, when your fast ends, when Fajr sets in, when Fajr time expires, etc. So all of this is a sign of the power of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And there's numerous benefits for the inhabitants of earth in these changes of season, which is affected by the changing times of the rising and the setting of the sun. So Allah says, Rabbul Mashriqain wa Rabbul Maghribain, the master of the two east, the master of the two west. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, now which of the bounties of your sustainer are you two going to deny? مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ, Allah caused the two seas to move, flowing together. بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانِ, between the two is a barrier which they may not transgress. Now we know when you go to Cape Town, they talk about one of the spots on earth where the two seas meet, the sweet and the salty water. They're not totally separate, they meet, but at the same time, there's a kind of invisible barrier, if you like, where they don't overpower each other. The two waters get together in order, you know, the two waters do not remove the peculiarities of each other, the salty water and the sweet water. Also, yeah, the ulama have written, it could also mean that these two waters together, sweet and salty water of the oceans, they do not combine to flood the earth and to drown all of us. There's now quite a bit of scientific detail to this, which we don't have the time to go into, but it's a sign of the power of Allah. It's a sign of the bounty of Allah. Allah has given us sweet water. Allah has given us salty water. And Allah, by His power, ensures that they don't overpower each other. In that sense, they don't mix. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, so which of the bounties of your Lord are you going to deny? And from these oceans, يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُمَا اللُؤْلُؤُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ, Allah brings forth pearls and corals. Ibn Abbas says, لُؤْلُؤُ small pearls and marjan, big pearls. These are from the treasures of the earth. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Now, which of the bounties of your sustainer are you two going to deny? And then finally, verse 24, on this very topic of the oceans, Allah says, وَلَهُ الْجَوَارِ الْمُنْشَآتُ فِي الْبَحْرِ كَالْأَعْلَامِ. To him alone belong the lofty ships standing in the sea like mountains. These are ships that man has created, but Allah gave man the capacity to create it. Today, you and I may think, well, you know, a ship is outdated. We no more go by Titanic. We fly now, you know. You've got all these sophisticated aircraft. But a lot of the functioning of the world still depends on ships. And I'm not talking only about luxury cruises. I'm talking about the huge quantities of cargo that is transported throughout the world on ship. We saw what happened when there was a traffic jam at the Suez Canal. So Allah says, I control all of this. I created all of this. And this is my bounty upon you, and this is a sign of my power. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Now, which of the bounties of your sustainer are you going to deny?